Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex. Industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. Andy here, how are you doing? I hope you're all having a really good week. This is the show that is a safe space for all you petrol heads out there. Now then, if you are following Mike Brewer and his lovely Mrs. B on your social media feeds, on Twitter and Instagram, Mike is of course at Mike Brewer and Michelle is at Mrs. M Brewer, or on Facebook, they're just Wheeler Dealers, you will know that they have been over in America for the last few weeks. In fact, they're having a jolly old time out there doing loads of incredible automotive adventures, and I'm just watching on with great envy. However, they're also doing some really cool things for us and then sending it back here to us in the UK where we can snip it up and put it out for you. And this episode, well, to be honest with you, you asked and we listened. We have put the band back together. Yes, Mike has been hanging out in LA with his former mechanic, the heartthrob that is Mr. Ant Anstead. Yes, the superstar, Mike and Ant, back together. So here is Ant and Mike and Mrs. B in America. Enjoy.
Right, so welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. An original Wheeler Dealer himself, none other than Mr. Ant Anstead.
You actually, both of you successfully clapped as if there was a stadium full of people there.
I know it's good, but wait until you see the edits, because we do cut in a bit of Coldplay stadium noise.
Oh, you add it?
Yeah, we add it in. So you're like, you know, a sky full of stars, and at the end of that song, that's how you come out. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. So listen, I don't want to go through the history of Ant Anstead, where you come from, love of cars, Wheeler Dealers, all of that stuff.
No.
I just want to go right up to date. Because geographically, let's tell you where we are. We're in sunny California, a little bit cloudy California at the moment. And we're at the home, the new home, which is written up on the wall behind us, of Radford Cars. I've had an awesome time so far. But this is now where where the home of Radford is. And this is your new base of operations.
Yeah. Can you add an applause after that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, welcome to California.
Thank you. Welcome back
to California.
Thank you.
It's kind of weird for me because you guys are the reason I even ended up in California.
Do you miss us? Do you miss us?
I miss you.
I miss you.
Mike, less so.
That's going to start a whole new Twitter sphere of people going, yeah, I'm not surprised you don't miss that sod. That's what they're going to say.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, all those troll accounts I set up are doing really well. it's a really nice full circle. I tell you why it's nice for me is because, firstly, you know, in my personal world, you brought me to California, and I thank you for that. It's been a monumental life change for me. And secondly, you will remember that the seed of the idea of Radford was actually written whilst filming Wheeler Dealers.
So you'll remember,
in the production office, I was like, hey.
How long ago was that?
Oh, yeah, Radford. When did that start?
It would have been our last season. So what, 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah. It wasn't that long ago when you think about it. I remember you sitting there doodling a car, going, I'm going to build a car with a car company. And I'm thinking at that time, can you just finish the Type 34 Volkswagen for us, please, and stop thinking about this car company?
Could you do the kingpins on a Celica?
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. I'm incredibly proud of what Radford and the small team here have achieved. Out of this little headquarters that we call it in California, we've had a really big global reach. You know, last year, Supercar Award at Goodwood, we beat the likes of Ferrari, McLaren, Bugatti, Gordon Murray, Lamborghini. We currently have the caveat of being, you know, the world's lightest petrol-powered supercar available today. which is kind of cool.
It's amazing.
You know, you've seen it. We're not actually allowed to talk about it yet, you know, depending on when this podcast comes out, but you've seen the Pikes Peak car.
Which is nuts. It's just bonkers to look at every angle.
So the kind of the 3 years from that blank bit of paper in the Wheeler Dealer's production office to physically here, you know, you can see that there's staff, crew, production. You know, we are genuinely building world-class supercars, and it's happening right here.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it, how fast that has happened? And let's just talk about the car just for a second, because you won all these awards for the Type 62, but it is, I reckon, by far, quite possibly the prettiest supercar on the market as well. It's awkwardly pretty. Whenever you walk up to it, I see it on the grass at the weekend at Benedict Castle, and it's sitting next to a Type 51 Bugatti, which is equally just stunning. But it's so pretty, that car. I mean, it's gorgeous to look at. It's the colour's amazing. It's almost like the modern day Lamborghini Miura to look at. It's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, thank you. It's very, very difficult. You know, car design is I don't need to tell you, it's a phenomenally dark art. And a lot of car designers or have-a-go hero car designers get it wrong because they overdo it. And, you know, I can see that in a lot of, particularly supercars, you know, adding wing extensions and splitters and vents and stuff on paper feels like the right thing to do. But actually, there's a simplicity in the Type 62 too that makes it triumphant.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. It is simple, but beautiful. You know, it's just a form, isn't it?
It is beautiful.
It almost looks like it's been poured. You know, doesn't it? It looks like it's been poured out of a jug.
From the sweat.
Yes, from the sweat.
Multiple generations.
Of men. So Radford as a company started in London in the 1940s, is that correct?
Radford was founded in 1948 by a British coach builder called Harrod Radford. The first ever Radford was a Radford body Rolls-Royce. It unveiled at the Earls Court Motor Show. And then Radford went on to build, you know, partner from a coach building perspective with some really big brands, you know, Aston, Ford, Jaguar, you know, and Radford. You know, by the 60s, Radford became super famous because they'd created a really cool celebrity following, particularly around the Mini. So it then meant, you know, this is before influencing was really a thing. You know, they had every member of the Beatles driving a Radford.
Crazy.
Peter Sellers launched the Mini.
Crazy.
You know, Stirling Moss, Enzo Ferrari, Steve McQueen.
Enzo Ferrari had a Radford Mini.
Yeah, think about that, though, because we're talking about the guy who's probably, you know, the guy who knows cars better than any other human on the planet chooses to buy a Radford. So what Harrod Radford managed to do is he managed to create this kind of really cult following. While they were expensive, Sellers's Mini was, I believe, more expensive than a Ferrari.
Wow!
At the equivalent time, because of course, you know, it's like anything with brand with value, it becomes this kind of must-have accessory.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessarily about a mode of transport.
Yeah,
it was, I want to own a Radford.
Yeah, of course.
And then the company then kind of disappeared, and the last ownership was actually friends of yours, H.R. Owen. So H.R. Owen, in fact, we've got this really beautiful archive picture of, it's the now Lamborghini H.R. Owen, I think it's in Kensington, showroom, was Harrod Radford. So we've got this beautiful archive picture.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I'll send it to you so you can put it on the podcast.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And we've now partnered with H.R. Owen in the UK. So H.R. Owen are now reselling Radfords, but they were the last custodian of the brand, which is kind of cool.
What is it like for you now? Because you partnered with Jenson Button, ex-Formula One world champ.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it like for you two to have this legacy? I mean, you have to live up to some really serious things that have gone on before with Radford, and you've now the custodians of this brand. That must be intimidating. You know, there's a lot of pressure on you to produce and to produce well.
Yeah, Michelle's right. It adds a layer of pressure that you don't realize, because of course it's incredibly important. Now, I knew the value that the automotive community all over the world puts on things the minute I started doing TV. So if you, and you know, you've been there a million times, you take a mint, you know, VW Beetle, and you put the wrong rivet on it, they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they'll tell you.
Every day.
That you've done the wrong thing. So now imagine, you know, the legacy of a brand is in the hands of a very, very small team. And it's not just Jensen and myself. You know, Roger was one of the founding members. Izzy, who you saw yesterday. And, you know, we've now got this really cool small team. And we often realign ourselves. We find ourselves resetting. Listen, Remember what we're here for. Remember, this is about modern day engineering, modern day technology, modern day engineer, you know, design, etc. But actually, we need to always consider a heritage lean. So I think we're handling it really well. You know, I think the car looks great. I think doing things like the Pikes Peak race is really important. And, you know, we go to the right sort of events. You know, you don't see us scattergunning Radford everywhere. In fact, I'd say we're very, very restrained with what we put out. You know, we haven't even put out this workshop.
Yeah, that is very true. But what is out there in terms of social media is unbelievably classy.
I mean, that's the key, right?
That is the key. Yeah, it's very much that Radford thing, isn't it? You know, their car's designed with thought and feeling and class. And every post that you put up, I mean, the brand itself looks really classy. This building, this room we're sitting in, everything feels really
classy, right?
Everything feels really classy and expensive.
Yeah, you call it class, Michelle calls it expensive.
Yeah, but it does. It feels like, you know,
it oozes
something. There is something about this whole brand, this legacy that you've got. Mm. Even the people around you, we had dinner with your team last night, and they've all got this, you know, everyone's wearing their Radford T-shirts.
We're very proud of the brand.
We're very proud of it, aren't they? It's quite incredible to see for a young company, you know, that is, you can see people are really invested in it.
Yeah, that's all very, very deliberate as well. And it starts with the engineering. You know, we want to, you know, we deliberately partner with the world's best brands. And you can imagine, in fact, you know, because, you know, we speak privately, but the amount of alternative brands that reach out to collaborate with Radford is remarkable. Big names that are like, hey, you know, so we are very, very strategic with who we partner with. And, you know, you just need to go through, you know, one of the cars out there, if I just walked you through from a component perspective, where's that bit from and who machined that bit and who put that piece on it? Actually, it's like a who's who of, you know, the car is built on a global scale.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because we're doing the, we're recording a TV show for the Pikes Peak build. And, you know, it's when you actually sit down with a map of the world and work out who's doing what in each country, it's this huge global team of world-class people. And you look at the CVs and the amassed experience. You know, I'm texting this morning with a very well-established Formula One team about CFD.
Like, fantastic.
Like, what the hell is happening?
Within 3 years. It's crazy, isn't it? Now, Pikes Peak. Okay, we can't see the car. I mean, there are images out there of the car.
It depends when this goes out because, you know, we have put out some rendered images.
Yeah, there's some rendered images of the car. Again, you know, the car looks, dare I say, one of the best looking sports cars, racing cars on the planet.
It's pretty monumental.
I'm not saying it because we're buddies and I'm sat next to you. It is true.
No, I know you'll always tell me the truth.
No, I will tell you the truth.
But bag of nails, you'd say.
But I witnessed for the first time a Formula One world champion, Jensen, for the first time, the bonnet got clipped onto the front of that car. The front clam got clipped onto the front of it. And Jensen,
you spotted it as well.
Jensen stepped back and went, I mean, he swore with just going, oh, my God, look at it. It is unbelievable to look at.
Yeah, your timing of your visit yesterday was really interesting because genuinely, that was the first time Tanner Faust has even seen the car. And it's the first time Jensen has seen the car with a body on it.
Did you notice, Tanner Faust being the pilot, by the way, of this car, when it goes up the hill, did you notice how cocky Tanner got?
I know.
He got a little bit cocky. When he see the car in the flesh and he see the clam go on the front and he started to look at it in detail, he got a little bit more cocky and more relaxed.
Yeah,
A little bit more happy, like sure happy. Of him. Yeah, sure of himself. Happy. He knows. I mean, he even said a statement, didn't he? He even went, I think this is the first time I can get under 10 minutes in a car.
Needs to and eat he's salad.
And that is, you think about it, and he's saying that, and he's only just staring at it. He's not even driven it yet.
And you probably saw my reaction to that yesterday.
Yeah, be careful. Your jets.
One of my jobs, you know, many hats here at Radford, but actually keeping people, let's stay on the mission, let's stay calm. And, you know, Tanner and, you know, everybody here, let's just tell some honest truth now. Everybody here knows that on paper, the car has an opportunity to be a sub 10 minute car. We know that. Like the stats, the data and everything that we know about the car and in the testing that we've done, tells us it's a sub 10 minute car. Now, and to put that into context for the viewers out there that don't know what that means, Pikes Peak have been running the race for 101 years. Wow. So it's, I think, the second oldest race ever, particularly in America.
How many people take part in that race?
It's quite a big field, isn't it?
It's about 50 odd, I think.
Yeah, it's a big field.
It's a big field.
Okay.
So basically, you start at the foot of the mountain, which is already at altitude, and you wind your way up the mountain with no guardrails. So you're, if you get it wrong, you go off
you go
the mountain.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, it's been tragic. You get
like
to
the
summit.
It's very much like the TT.
Yeah.
And you get to the top, and it's 14,000 and change feet. To be a pilot at 12,500 feet, by law, you have to have oxygen. So the effects it does on the body are really, really bad. So drivers now carry oxygen. But what it does to a car, you know, you can't combust fuel at altitude. You can't, nothing cools. So everything overheats. I mean, when I went there 2 years ago, and I was very lucky to do, I drove an Acura as a parade. You know, I did it as a thing for the press. And, you know, VW and Bentley, you know, VW spent 16 million, Bentley spent 8, I believe, and they both didn't finish.
Wow.
So it's a real high pressure stakes thing. Now, Tanner won his class that year in Porsche. And of course, he's never, even though he's a Pikes Peak champion, he has never beaten 10 minutes. And for Tanner to stay, this is the car that's capable. It would be very easy for us to kind of run away with that. But, you know, what I'm doing is I'm making sure that...
Yes, of course.
Now, Tanner has one job, finish.
Yes. Manage expectations.
Finish.
That's it.
But, you know, of course, secretly, we're all always racing cars.
So,
of course.
So weight is important, isn't it? The lighter
It is. I mean, ultimately, that's always going to be a case in any race car. But we are only, I think Jensen touched on it yesterday, I think we're only 60 kilos
heavier than a modern Formula One car.
Than a Formula One car, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I looked at some of, because, you know, in our class, some of the other competitors are, you know, they're releasing their, this is who we're up against. And, you know, we're on paper in a very good place.
Well, you'll definitely win the prize for the prettiest car there.
If there is a prize, we might have to make that category up this
yes,
year.
Yes, the Radford Award.
Has anybody won it more than once in the
Had multiple champions over the years. Yeah, a few people have won it a few times. You know, it's some people become Pikes Peak experts.
Can I also ask, would this be the first time in Radford's history that they've gone racing?
It depends how you categorise that, because remember, Radford's a coach builder, so they weren't involved in every facet of the car. But, you know, a lot of people don't realise that the first ever Ford GT40 was built by Radford.
Right.
So it was a Lola chassis.
Yeah.
Ford, obviously, V8 engine and a Radford body. And then after that, the project then moved over. You know, if you've seen Ford v Ferrari, it tells the story quite nicely, actually. The white GT40 prototype with the black bonnet that arrived at the runway. It's a night scene and they pull the cover off. And
in LAX.
Christian Bale jumps in it and
drives
around.
It. That was Radford.
That's a Radford.
Right, but it's claimed by Shelby, isn't it? It's the whole thing seems
I think they kind of gloss over it in the movie because they have a British guy present who's not named. And, you know, they own that it was made in England.
Right.
You know, it's just arrived from England kind of thing. But, that prototype was a Radford. And then after the race program, a number of GT40s were built by Ford as road cars, and Radford trimmed every single road going GT40. So if you own a current road GT40, it's got Radford seats in it.
Yes, they have been racing.
So yes, they have had
a bit of a racing heritage.
Yeah. And, you know, and everybody knows that, you know, GT40 went on to become a Le Mans, legend.
Well, listen, I'm incredibly excited about Pikes Peak.
Yes,
that's the next phase of Radford, and I know what it means to you, because being around you the last sort of 48 hours, I can see that with this small team, you've may have to delay production of a customer car to get to Radford ready for Pikes Peak. So you have all those problems of you know, running the company at the same time as trying to...
Yeah, we're spending plates like everybody else, and we are still a very, very small business. You know, we are into full customer production. We have, you know, just for the record, I've shown Mike something on my laptop that we're revealing on July 1st.
Which is going to be incredibly exciting for the world to see. Again, it's one of, you know...
That's a big deal.
It's a massive deal.
So, you know...
But there's more... But I've also had other conversations with you, and it's about the future, Radford, and there are some other big deals coming up.
We have a lot.
Can we just... I know you can't say them, but can we just maybe allude...
Yeah, so
the next
you know,
podcast.
Yeah, so Radford's first car came out the gate. We collaborated with Lotus. Built, you know,
yes.
we based the design of our Type 62-2 on the original Type 62. And, you know, the early cars, you know, used a Lotus tub, and then we use very little Lotus now. I mean, to the point where we're now not using any. But the next brand we've collaborated with is a much bigger OEM, and I think eyebrows will be raised when we announce that. And I know you know what it is.
I know what it is.
You've seen the car.
And I've seen the car.
And,
you've seen it's the, insane.
Yeah. It's,
and
it's proper, yeah.
It's proper.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it's going to. It's crazy. I'm not going to say anymore, no. But for me, I'm so excited. I mean, I'm just like, and dare I say, the pride bursting in me that it's you that's doing it as well, because we've got this amazing link, me and you and Michelle together, and to see you achieving this. And it's not, you know, you're not chasing the TV show or whatever. TV's coming to find you to come and document what's happening in your life at the moment.
Yeah,
it's just absolute. You are... First and foremost, you're a proper car builder.
Yeah, I love it. I'm in my boots right now. I mean, you know, and I've been approached quite a few times over the last 12 months to do TV shows.
But you don't want to do Strictly Come Dancing or Dancing with the Stars.
I have been asked.
You don't want to do that fluff and nonsense. You want to build cars.
But I have prioritised Radford in a very significant way. You know, I stepped in as the CEO April last year. So I am, you know, I'm here every day and every night, being the CEO of a small business as a startup is hard.
It is hard.
It's harder than I thought. But deep down, you know, I'm a car builder.
You just interrupted
me putting the windscreen trims in.
And I feel really guilty because I can see you're desperate to get back to the car, but we are going to get through this.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast brought to you by the Garlix Group. Garlix offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Garlix. To find out more, visit garlixgroup.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You're listening to the Wheeler Daily Podcast.
From me, from Michelle, from Andy J, from everyone who listens to this podcast, I know that we're all behind you 100%. And Pikes Peak is going to just plant a massive British flag.
When is it?
Anglo-American flag.
At the peak of the mountain.
At the peak of the mountain.
Yeah. Cross the finish
line. And when will that be? And what time do you?
So the Pikes Peak, you can watch it live actually on TV. Okay. So it's broadcast live. I'm not actually sure what network it's on.
30?
No, it's on the 25th of June.
25th.
We are actually heading to Colorado. So we're doing sea level testing this weekend. Next week.
I've seen the car.
Yeah, we are. We are. Keep the faith, buddy.
We're doing that
at a top secret location.
Top secret.
I'll tell you after this recording. And then we have to then ship the car to Colorado because altitude testing is very, very different.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it's done on a laptop in that car. You know, we have a highly programmable engine. But in terms of mechanical grip, CFD, you know, steering, suspension geometry, you know, suspension setup, that's all going to be done at sea level because that doesn't change. Because it's wild. Pikes Peak is unlike any other race. We're going to run a 4-inch ride height. So we're talking about a race car with a 4-inch ride height.
Yeah, I know. It's almost an off-roader, isn't it?
Yeah, I could get my freaking lunch under there. Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah.
When did you start building this car for this adventure?
This is happening really quickly.
It's a 100-day build.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
You know what we're doing next year.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm great because I'm working with you guys.
No, it's got nothing to do with us.
Do you miss us?
I do not. I miss you, Michelle. Because I know there's a big British contingent that listens to this podcast. But if Tanner successfully wheels the car up and then back down the mountain via the road, the car then goes on display in Chicago on July 1st, and we're announcing the other secret thing that I've shown you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the car is actually going to Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Is it really?
So we are then transporting the car to Goodwood. So if anybody's in the UK and they're going to Goodwood, we're going to have two cars present in Goodwood, one of which will be the Pikes Peak car. Jensen has been attending Festival of Speed for pretty much ever since it started, and they do this thing called Time Attack. Ironically, I think a couple of years ago, McLaren won the Time Attack, and Tanner is attending Goodwood representing McLaren
and so, Jensen the driver up so the hill as a Radford.
Well, yeah, because Jensen was originally going to drive Pikes Peak. So we've set out, we have built the car around Jensen, and then if you've been watching the news, partway through the Pikes Peak build, Jensen accepted a seat, quite rightly, at Le Mans. So because it's the 100 years of Le Mans, NASCAR have put in a NASCAR team into Le Mans. It's only the second time in history that NASCAR have entered Le Mans. So, and Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy Johnson, seven times
NASCAR legend,
has chosen two drivers, and one of them is Jensen. So Jensen has to back out of the Pikes Peak car, which he is furious about.
Really?
Because it's the same weekend.
It's the week before, right. But you can't prepare for a, because Pikes Peak is a memory race.
Yes, yeah.
Le Mans a memory, you have to memorize
every single bend.
Jensen had memorized Pikes Peak because he's fanatical. He had memorized Pikes Peak already. He knows the rev level, the red line, the brake point of each corner, because when you start to go through the clouds, visibility is awful. You're relying on, and because there's no one else on the track, you can go for it. So he is incredibly disappointed that he's unable to turn the wheel in anger. So, you know, he's like, oh, so Time Attack, Goodwood. So that'll be his first chance to stretch the legs of our Pikes Peak car.
Well, listen, from every Brit, every car-loving Brit out there, and every fan of yours, we wish you every success. Yeah. You, Tanner, Jensen, you go get it. You go get it. And you got our love and our support with you. I can't wait to see you do it.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Was that it?
No.
Oh, it feels like that was the end of the podcast.
No, it's not the end of the podcast. But
I'm about to get up and leave.
It soon will be, because now we're going to get you on the road, okay? Because you're in the car with me and Michelle, but we're going to kick you out of our car, and I'm going to open up my garage. And in my garage, there's every kind of car on the planet. It's every kind of car that you could ever do. It could be a car that doesn't exist anymore, or it could be a fantasy car, but there's every kind of car you could think of. I'm just going to toss you the keys. Try and choose something with, like, you could take a few passengers, like three people. I'm going to toss you the keys, and I'm going to say, what car are you going to choose?
Right, well, you know, my default for, you know, best car, favourite car is always a Series 1 Land Rover. I have one. I found one, by the way. It's actually arrived in LA. No, I got it from Europe.
Right, hold on. So you
but this is not the answer to that
question. Right, okay, good. I was going to say, because be
the longest slowest road trip in history.
Ever.
But do you know what? I think my heart lays in old cars. So, you know, while a road trip would be nice conducted in a Phantom or something.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what? I'm actually going to say the 1948 Radford Body Rolls-Royce.
Right, which is lovely, right? So, nice. Radford Body.
Plus, 90. It has a picnic set in the back.
Oh, perfect. Whoa. Right. Well, we need to find out who's with you on this journey. Right. So we have a 1948 Radford bodied Rolls Royce.
Yep.
You are behind the wheel.
No, I like to be driven.
Yes,
I'd like to be driven. Why can't I be driven?
Hold on.
Oh, this is breaking the format, but it is a Rolls Royce. And Rolls Royce traditionally... you sit in the back of a Rolls Royce, don't you?
I know, I'm going to sit in the front. Okay. The front passenger
right,
seat.
Right, so you're sat in the front.
Oh, my God.
Who is driving you in the Rolls Royce?
They can be alive or dead.
They can be alive or dead, fantasy or not.
Oh, that's easy. It's Renee Zellweger.
Now, we usually have a rule, which is you can't have wives or girlfriends. But being that she's a double Oscar-winning actress and just the most amazing person I think I've met.
And a great driver.
And a great driver.
I think we just. Oh, my God, she's a great driver.
Fast.
I think we're just going to allow it.
Yeah!
I think we're just going to allow it.
So just to give some context, Mike and Michelle have met Renee several times on FaceTime. But last night was the first time.
We had dinner. She did something so cool at dinner last night, which is still the coolest thing I've ever seen. A massive, like one of the biggest movie stars on the planet do, which was we come out of this quite fancy restaurant.
Oh,
everyone's
yes.
getting their cars out of valet. And she went, no, I parked mine in the car park around the corner and walked. And I went, that's proper.
Oh, no, she's
proper.
Real. Yeah, she is proper. She is legitimately the
she went,
most
no,
grounded.
I don't value my car. Don't do that nonsense. I park in a car park and walk.
She went home with a Wheeler Dealer sticker.
She did.
Okay, so I could give you a little bit of another layer
of
that.
They went in the bin.
No, this morning, we have a little coffee machine at home. And whoever's up first makes the coffee.
Okay.
And,
Okay. Please
she,
tell me.
She put your sticker. Mike did a like an autographed thing to Renee as a joke with a derogatory comment on it. but it was on the coffee machine this morning.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Right. So,
Renee's driving.
Renee's driving 1948 Radford bodied Rolls Royce. Who's in the rear seats? Don't say Archie and Emily because that's too obvious.
Well,
or Hudson.
Well, the obvious choice would be Archie, I mean, and Hudson.
But don't say that. So you could have, like, I don't know, you could have Elon Musk, you could have Peter Sellers, you could have John Lennon, you could have anyone you like in the back.
I'd love to have a road trip with Da Vinci, please.
Oh, Leonardo, the ultimate engineer and artist.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
Yep, I want to talk helicopters.
Yep, perfect. Right, so you've got Da Vinci in one seat. Who's in the other seat?
Well, it's probably, you know, we want to have some humour.
Yep.
Or some food.
Yes. Well, no, I tell you what, a lot of people, when we've done this, like, you know, the David Gandys and the James Lances, they all go for a bit of a Billy Connolly or a Ricky Gervais, which is a really good call, because if you're on a long journey, you want to be entertained. So go on then.
I'm going to go for, oh, gosh, this is a real tough one. God, it's a big Rolls Royce, so I could add a few people.
Well, we'd like you to just have one. Just we've already got in the back. Gosh. We've got Renée Zellweger driving.
I'd like...
We've got you in the passenger seat.
I'd like Johnny Cash.
You'd like Johnny Cash? I don't think he's known Johnny for being Cash. Fun, is he?
No, but the guy can play music, and wouldn't you just love to have a dedicated conversation with Johnny Cash?
Well, hold on a minute, because... I'm also going to ask you what's playing on the radio. So you might say...
Well, this is where it's double whammy, right, because he can play live and I get a second chance on the radio.
All right, okay. So we've got Johnny Cash. Who was the other one in the back seat? It was
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci. So we've got Da Vinci. Great choice. I mean, you can see that car, can't you? Da Vinci,
yeah.
Johnny Cash, Renée Zellweger and Anstead. Yeah, looks great. Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah. Works. So who's playing on the radio?
Well, as you know, and I think most people know now, I'm a big musicals fan. So I would throw on the soundtrack for Les Mis.
Les Mis.
I probably have six of those identical CDs.
Yeah, Les Mis. I know
the words to every song.
And he's seen it like 1,000 times.
I've seen it, I think, 9 times.
Yeah, there you go.
So it would be in musicals.
Les Mis super fan. Mm. Right, so this journey.
Snack,
let's get to the snacking. You can do that, yeah.
Basket.
All right, so what are you snacking on? Before we set off on this journey, what are you snacking on?
Well,
bit of beef jerky? Trail mix?
No, I played a lot of football growing up. So I used to have this routine. Whenever I played a game of football, I used to go home and watch Match of the Day sort of catch up. And I always used to have, you know, those oven-cooked baguettes? They're like half-cooked. You put them in the oven, they finish them.
I kind of like those.
Right, I used to have them. So I'd have two, because they'd be cut into fours. The main would be Stilton, and the dessert would be Nutella. So I would go for a fresh oven-baked baguette, Stilton in one, Nutella in the other, and then I had a massive, like a salad bowl full of cheese puffs.
What's your sweet thing then?
That is it, Nutella.
That is it, oh, not just Nutella.
Yeah, Nutella in a baguette.
Life-changing.
God.
Okay, I've got to remember all of this. This is going to be crazy.
Are you going to turn up?
I've got to remember it all. I'm not going
to
turn up.
You don't have to remember anything because you've just recorded it.
Well, yeah, I've got to repeat it back to you.
Right, so this journey, we can see it, can't we? So, picture in 1948, Radford Body Rolls Royce, Renny Zellweger driving, got a cap on, got Ant sat beside her looking smarmy, playing on the radio is a bit of Johnny Cash, isn't
it? No, Johnny Cash in the car.
Johnny Cash is on the radio. Lay Miz is on the radio. Johnny Cash is sitting in the back seat chatting through, I don't know, guitar strings with Da Vinci. Where are you? Where is this journey starting from? Where on the planet are you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, It has to be those roads of the south of France. It has to be.
So you're down in Cannes, Nice, that area of France?
I'm thinking more that road between kind of Nice to Monaco.
Talking about
Saint-Tropez.
Arnage. Yeah.
Saint-Tropez,
Arnage. Okay. And you can drive this car anywhere on the planet. So where are you going to take your guests? And it doesn't have to be in France. Obviously, you can be on the moon somewhere. If you want. Where are you going to take them?
Blimey. Well, you know, I feel very incredibly drawn to California. There's something about Route 1 here, particularly between where we are now in Newport Beach all the way to Monterey. So I would probably end up at the home of Pebble Beach.
Now, that sounds absolutely epic. And by the way, that with Michelle. That's why we're here. We're going to be doing that. So there's your journey. So let's go through this one more time just so I get it right. 1948, Radford Body Rolls Royce. Renny Zellweger is driving. She's got a cap on. She's got little driving gloves. She is the chauffeur. You're sat in the passenger seat. You're listening on the radio to Les Mis. In the back of the car, tapping away, is Da Vinci going, this is kind of crazy. I kind of like theatre music all of a sudden. And he's chatting away to Johnny Cash, who's trying to strum along on his guitar to a little bit of Les Mis.
Yep.
And you're all having a bit of a sing-song.
Yep.
You started the journey in the south of France. So you're somewhere in the Côte d'Azur down in the south of France. And you're driving all the way to Monterey, up to Pebble Beach, munching on
Stilton
and Nutella baguettes
with a side of cheese puffs.
Oh, gee whiz, that is some journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So once you get there, right, this is the bit that's going to screw you, right? Because you got there, you all got to Pebble Beach, and you get out and you go, look, this is Pebble Beach. There's the golf course. Everyone's excited. Da Vinci gets out, trips over his sandals because that's what he was wearing back in the day. He trips over. Johnny Cash goes to help him up. Rene, she's looking to valet the car. Oh, no, she doesn't valet the car.
She doesn't.
Rene is holding the keys thinking, where can I park it in a car park? And then all of a sudden, as you're all fumbling around with each other, trying to work out what's going on, some little has stolen your Rolls Royce. It's gone. Your Rolls Royce is gone. So now you need to get back home. However, on your return journey, you can have a 2-seater sports car and only take one of those passengers back with you.
Well, this is a stitch up.
Which one is it going to be?
Oh, this is a stitch up.
No, that's why I'm asking
it. The answer depends on whether Renee's listening.
I gather she doesn't really listen to the Wheelie Dealer the podcast.
It's Ren.
Right, so Rene is beside you.
Yeah.
What car are you in? For the return journey, remember, this could be epic for you.
Okay, so I'm...
2-seater sports car.
Oh, no. So can I throw another curveball in?
Yeah.
Because you've seen what's in the workshop.
Yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
But
And I tell you, let me justify it first.
Yes. No, he's thinking about flying.
So those of you that have been following me on social media realize that I've really heavily got into flying because of Tanner Faust. And that obsession with flight has been very quickly overtaken. I have an aeroplane in the workshop right now, which I'm building on another show, which I shouldn't really tell about, but it's called Under the Radar. I've been doing a TV show on flight for a little while now. It's a 2-seater Vans RV14 home build kit plane. And Ren happens to be a very good pilot as well.
Oh,
so the good thing about flying is that the left seat is the pilot seat, the right seat is the passenger seat. Both seats are capable of the controls. So I would take our Vans RV14 from Pebble Beach with Ren and I, because it's a 2-seater.
All the way back to the south of France.
All the way back to the south of France. Is that allowed? Can I do that on a...
You can do that, but on the return journey, obviously, Johnny Cash should be playing on the radio.
I don't care, he's getting a taxi.
Oh, and that was absolutely fantastic. And the part of that we all love, and this is why this works, is that we get a little snapshot and insight to your likes, your loves, your hates. and where you go, what motivates you. And having that journey with you on the road has been a thrill, hasn't it?
Yeah,
you like
absolutely.
That, Michelle?
Yeah,
on
that
the road
amazing.
And in the air.
And in the
yeah.
air. I got in there, before I let you go, I got in a 1962 Saab Sophia the other day.
Oh, okay.
So this is a vintage plane. Very much, you know, I gather in the same vein as the thing you're
very
building.
Old.
Very old. And there was a lot of plunging and pumping.
I don't wish to know what you guys do in your spare time.
And then there was a lot of starting the aeroplane up, but there was a lot of plunging and pumping just to get this antiquated classic plane into the air.
It's frightening, isn't
it? It's terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
But I think that's one of the reasons that I'm so fascinated in making the aeroplane show, is because the similarities between automotive and aviation are actually quite obvious.
Yeah,
but in aviation, they're incredibly dated. You don't realize how fragile and, almost agricultural some
the
of
whole thing is. Well, oh the God. Engines in most of these planes are Lycoming. It comes from a 1920s combine harvester.
It's brilliant. It is brilliant. It's like the best bit of engineering. And, you know, one of my hopes is, you know, I fell into aviation because of Tanner. I didn't even realize.
How long ago was that?
It's been in the last couple of years, hasn't it? 3 years ago,
and I've been flying for a good 2.5 years now. Probably
you fly up to your own racing school, Radford Racing School.
In a small plane, you can get to Radford in Phoenix in about 1 hour and 40 minutes. And see what's cool is if you take a direct flight, you fly through military airspace, so you have to ask permission. Can I fly through your airspace? And often they say yes, or you have to fly around it. So it takes longer if you fly around that big military airbase between here and Phoenix. And, once we went up, we were like, hey, can we have permission to fly through airspace? And they said, yes, if we can train with you. Okay, what does that mean? We're going to come and shoot you down.
What?
So you're flying a little two-seater
F-16
propeller plane,
fighter
and next thing you've got two fighter jets next to you going, boom.
You're dead.
Yeah. So it's worth it, though, because it's obviously...
It's fantastic. It's what an experience that is. Yeah, it's fantastic. Have you taken your license yet, or are you due to take your license?
No, I mean, so on the show, I want to make sure... So I didn't realise how accessible flight is, particularly here in the States. And, you know, one of the veins of the show is that, you know, the idea of this freedom of the open road, this American road trip is, in my mind, gone. Flight is the last... echelon of, and we're the last generation to have access to it. So with flight, there's no potholes, congestion, speeding tickets, police, LA traffic. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize of all, you know, there's airfields all over America, mm-hmm. and only a small percentage of them are operated.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything to take off. It doesn't cost anything to land. You put fuel in it just like a car.
Yeah.
You have insurance just like a car. You know, you build a plane for about the price of a VW camper van. And I mean, what car? My plane will do 250 miles an hour.
Wow.
And 1,000 mile range.
There is no car that does that. So an Audi A8 will do, you know, 1,000 miles probably. An Audi A6, Audi A8.
Will it do 250 miles an hour?
But it won't do 250 miles an hour. It'll be limited to 155.
So my dream is that, one of the reasons I've been collaborating with all of these, I'm in the experimental aircraft category, which is relatively free. It's not like a certified plane. And one of my hopes is that you've got all these incredibly skilled have a go at home car builders that are restoring, you know, millions of these people that, I'm doing a Mustang or I'm doing a Ford Fiesta home. They absolutely have the skills, capacity, tools, space to build a plane. They just don't realize that it's available.
So and you can do it.
You can do it. You can do it with mechanics tools. Yes, you have to get a couple of modified tools. So I'm talking through tools and I'm deliberately building it here in a car garage using car tools, using car people. And once, you know, as soon as I got into it, I'm like, oh my God, this is a car. This is a car, but it's not a modern car. This is a car from like 1930.
Does somebody more certified than you get to test it for the first time?
Yeah, there's loads of rules and regulations. And that's one of the things I want the Under the Radar show to become. Because in the aviation space, there's no go-to Bible for, let's say you wake up one morning like, oh, I didn't realize I could fly. Feels really expensive or feels really inaccessible. I want the show to become the kind of, well, if I watch that show, it will tell me everything from taking a medical to how to get my license, how to pass ground school, what's needed in terms of sign off. And You know, the types of other kits that are available, what happens after that, how can I get a career out of it? I want to answer all these questions because I'm, the truth is, I'm just a car guy going, oh my God, I can't believe I can fly.
Can you buy them in kit form?
Yes.
It's a kit, yeah. It is a kit.
It's a kit, but I've not bought the kit though.
No.
So what you've seen out there is partway through the build. That's actually months of work.
Is it really? It looks amazing.
14,000 rivets.
Are they safer than helicopters?
Yes, anything safer than a helicopter. Yeah, they don't float very well. Helicopters,
yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people bring the safety aspect out, but you know, how often, I mean, touch wood, yeah, how do often you hear, do you hear about...
Yeah, plane crash.
And often if there's a plane, you know, just like all mechanical things, sometimes they fail.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I say to Ren is it's a glider first. Before it's a plane, it's a glider.
Yeah.
And there's a drop ratio of 1 in 10. So if you're a mile in the air... You've got plenty of time to land it.
Yeah. Just be careful, Andy.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
Just be careful, please.
It's a different mindset.
I've watched you drive and...
Oh, I'm a terrible driver.
You're a crap driver.
Terrible driver.
I mean, every car you put on its roof, so please don't put an aeroplane on its roof.
Yeah.
Not for our sake. We want to keep you around for a lot longer. It's been absolutely fabulous, Ant, to have you on our podcast. Thank you so much for your hospitality here.
Oh, my God, I've loved it.
In California. We've loved every minute of it. It's been absolutely fabulous. And long may it continue. We love this friendship, this bromance. Mm. And we, me and Michelle and everyone in the United Kingdom are wishing you and Radford every success.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. And excellent, everybody. Yay! And goodbye.
Wasn't it great to hear that duo back together again? And Mrs. B, of course. So much fun. And Ant is such a top, top guy. So much fun. Thank you for coming on. Now, listen, we will be back with another Wheeler Dealer podcast episode very soon. So just keep a close eye on your podcast platforms. And, of course, on your social media feeds. I hope you're following Mike at Mike Brewer on Instagram and Twitter. And he's Wheeler Dealer on Facebook. And Mrs. B is Mrs. M. Brewer on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So get following, stay in touch, and we'll be putting out another Wheeler Dealer podcast episode very soon. This has been a TBI Media production. Bye!
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Garlix Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Garlix. Visit GarlixGroup.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.